here at 3 John, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Please stand with me out of honor to God and His Word as I read. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Thank you, may be seated. So, looking at hospitality this morning. Now, hospitality, I want you to know, was an essential part of the support system of the early church. There were no paid clergy. Churches were, generally speaking, very poor. And so Christian preachers traveled from house church to house church. And as they did, they needed provisions. As they did, they needed protection. As they did, they needed a place to stay. And so fellow Christians would be hospitable towards these itinerant preachers, these traveling preachers, to help them out. Now, fast forward to modern times. You've probably heard of circuit riding preachers, these preachers that have multiple churches, and one week they're in one church, and next week they're in another, and so on. Well, I heard a story about one of these traveling preachers, and the first time he showed up at this church and preached, he only preached 5 minutes, and then he sat down. Well, the congregation thought that was a little weird, but they didn't dwell on it. Then the next time he came around, he preached for 10 minutes and then sat down, and, well, we thought that was a little strange. But then the third time he came around, he preached for 2.5 hours straight. And after that, the deacon said, okay, they pulled him aside. They said, we got to know what's going on here. First time you came, 5 minutes. Second time, 10 minutes. This third time, 2.5 hours. What gives? He said, easy to explain. He said, that first Sunday when I came, just before I had all my teeth pulled. And so I was having trouble speaking, so I only spoke for 5 minutes. He said, then the second time I came, it's 10 minutes, but I was just fitted for my new dentures, and they were hurting me. They said, well, that makes sense, but what about preaching 2.5 hours today? What's that about? He said, very easy to explain. You see, I picked up my wife's teeth by mistake. Let's look at hospitality. So hospitality, again, was an essential part of the support system of the early church. And John noted here, Gaius, faithful service or hospitality to the brethren. Look in verse 1. It says, the elder to the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. And then in verse 5, he says, what you do faithfully, you do to the brethren and to strangers. And so John points out, he notes that Gaius was very hospitable, both to the brethren who were fellow Christians as well as to strangers, he says in verse 5. Now, strangers may or may not have been Christians. We don't know. But I will tell you this, the word translated hospitality in the New Testament, and we're going to see several of those verses as we go along today. That Greek word that is translated hospitality is the Greek word philoxenia, which literally means love to strangers. That's what hospitality is, love to strangers. And so Gaius was faithfully serving fellow Christians, and he was also faithfully serving strangers who may or may not have been Christians. Now, I want you to know that hospitality is one of the many gifts of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you realize this or not, but when you receive Christ as your Savior, immediately He gives you at least one spiritual gift. Paul alludes to that here in 1 Corinthians 12:7, where he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So once you receive Christ as your Savior, He gives you at least one spiritual gift. Now, in many cases, He gives multiple spiritual gifts. But if you are a believer in Christ here today, you have at least one spiritual gift. And the Bible gives us spiritual gifts lists throughout the Scriptures. For instance, they can be found in Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12. But understand this, the New Testament gift lists are representative, not exhaustive. What do I mean by that? Well, these are examples of spiritual gifts, but they're not all the spiritual gifts that exist. And so keep that in mind when you look at these spiritual gift lists. They are representative of spiritual gifts, not exhaustive. But let me just briefly, this is not the subject of today's message, but here are the gifts listed in Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. And then on over to 1 Corinthians 12, here are the gifts that are listed there. Again, representative, not exhaustive. And in fact, when you look at all three of those gifts, you will not find hospitality listed. That's how I know. And that's how we know that this is a representative. These are representative lists, not exhaustive lists. But here's what I want to ask you. As a believer in Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? You may have multiple gifts. Do you know what it is? Do you know what they are? Let me ask you this. Have you ever taken a spiritual gifts inventory? Now, it's a little bit tedious, and I can help you with this, but it's about 100 questions, all kind of crazy stuff they ask you, and then you do some analysis and formulation, and when you're done, it directs you to those things for which, those gifts for which you are most likely called to use. And the reason I ask you if you know what your gifts are, and the reason I ask you if you've ever taken a spiritual gift inventory, is because part of my job as your pastor is to help you discover your gifts and then to help you find a way to use those gifts in ministry. Because when God saved you and gifted you, He didn't intend you to just keep that gift for yourself. He intended you to take that gift and use it to glorify Him in His church. And so that's why part of my job is to help you discover your gift or gifts and then help you find how to use those gifts in ministry right here at church. Now back to hospitality as a spiritual gift. When hospitality is exercised as a spiritual gift, it's obvious. There are people here, I think every church has them, there are definitely people here I have seen that have the spiritual gift of hospitality. And you know when you see somebody that is specifically gifted, that person is always serving, that person rarely draws attention to themselves, and that person enjoys seeing others nourished and satisfied. It's obvious when somebody has that spiritual gift and they exercise it. That's hospitality. Secondly, though, I want us to look at responsibility. Though hospitality is a spiritual gift, all Christians should practice it. It is a specific spiritual gift, but every Christian should practice hospitality. The Bible clearly teaches that pastors are to be hospitable. In 1 Timothy 3:2, it says pastors are to be given to hospitality. But here's the thing. Pastors aren't super Christians. I talked about this before. It might have been a year ago. But pastors are not special people. We're just Christians like everybody else. And what applies to us applies to everybody else. So if a pastor is to be hospitable, whether he has the gift or not, that means you as a believer in Christ should be hospitable as well. Pastors aren't super Christians, but we are to be model Christians. And one of the ways we model Christianity is by being hospitable. And my friends, our service is needed even when we're not specifically gifted with hospitality. Look what Paul writes here in Romans 12, 13. Distributing, this is not for pastors, this is for everybody. Distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. And also again in 1 Peter 4, 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Again, this is not a message for pastors. This is a message for all believers. The bottom line is you and I must be ready and willing to help others in need. We must be ready and willing to help others in need. Think about Jesus. He fed the multitudes on multiple occasions. Now, I know Jesus had special miraculous abilities, but the fact of the matter is Jesus saw people in need, and He did something about it. He fed them. Jesus also told a story about the Good Samaritan. You probably know that story, where this guy's been beat up, and he's laying there along the side of the road. And the Samaritan comes up, and he sees this guy in need. He knows he needs medical attention. He knows he needs a place to stay. And so he puts him on his own donkey. He carries him into town. He finds him a place to stay. He promises to pay for everything. That's hospitality. James, Jesus' brother, said, make sure, Christians, you practice hospitality in the church. Look here, James 2, beginning in verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? James says, be hospitable. Practice hospitality, whether you have the gift or not. To that end, I believe Christians should be prepared for emergencies. We Christians should be prepared for emergencies. We should be able to care for our families and have enough to share with others who are in need. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 4:28. Look at it. Starting about in the middle. Working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. I recommend that every family in this room and every family hearing my voice establish a crisis closet for your family. You should have some freeze-dried food, which has a 25-year shelf life. You should have some extra canned food. You should have a reliable water source, and you should have a first aid kit. Why? So that you can take care of yourself and your family and then help those who are in need when a crisis comes along. Having said all of that, though, we must exercise caution and pray for discernment when we do help others. We all encounter people. Sometimes it's at the store, they got the little cardboard sign up, you know, we'll work for food or whatever those signs say today. We must exercise caution and pray for discernment when helping others. Why? Because some evil people only seek to steal, and some lazy people only seek to sponge. And let's be frank here. Sometimes when we're hospitable to others, they're going to take advantage of us. We're going to hear their story, their sad story. We're going to fall for it. We're going to give them money or food or whatever the case might be. It even will happen to the deacons here at church. We hear somebody's story and we reach out and we help them. Let's be frank here. Sometimes they will take advantage of us. But at least we've erred on the side of generosity and hospitality. And hear this. God knows our hearts and He honors our sincere intentions. Even if those people do us wrong, even if those people take that money or that food and do something with it they shouldn't do, God honors the sincere intents of our hearts. And we have erred, but we've erred on the side of generosity and hospitality. And here's the good news bottom line. Believers will be rewarded for our hospitality. Jesus tells us about that in Matthew 25, in verse 35. He says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in." And when you read the rest of that passage, you find out, he says, "And because of your hospitality, I welcome you into the kingdom of God." So we now know what hospitality is, biblical hospitality. We see now also the responsibility. Whether you're gifted or not, we're all responsible to be hospitable. Thirdly, I want us to look at the opportunity. Now, this man named Gaius, he helped and he sent itinerant preachers on their ways. Look in verse 6. "Which have borne witness of your charity, your love before the church, whom if you bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, you shall do well." And so this Gaius helped and sent itinerant preachers on their way. God used him to meet their needs. He also helped them to avoid Gentile criticism that they were hawking Christianity for money. Look in verse 7. Some people were saying, "You know what? These preachers are just going from house church to house church. They're just trying to enrich themselves." Look what it says. "Because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing from the Gentiles." And so Gaius made sure that nobody would be able to accuse these preachers of just trying to get rich off their preaching. Gaius served in stark contrast to another man in that same church. Look in verse 9. His name was Diotrephes. It says, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence of them among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." And so Gaius is trying to help these preachers, and Diotrephes is trying to harm those preachers. This Diotrephes apparently felt threatened by the visiting preachers. He neither practiced hospitality nor permitted others within his circle of influence to do so. Apparently, according to verse 9, he wanted to have the spotlight all to himself. Well, know this, those who are inhospitable like Diotrephes, they will suffer the consequences. Because whereas Jesus said, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink," and so on. Then he says, "Welcome into the kingdom." He says just the opposite to those who are in hospital. Look here at Matthew 25, beginning in verse 45. "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." You see, being hospitable allows us to participate in the ministries of fellow believers. As we help fellow believers, particularly those who might be preachers or evangelists and so on, that allows us to participate in their ministry. You personally may never lead multitudes to Christ, but as you participate in the ministries of those who do, you have a hand in their evangelistic work. You are enabling them to do what God has called them to do, so that even though you may not reach multitudes for Christ, they will, and you got a hand in their work. Now, Jesus availed himself to the hospitality of others. Throughout his ministry, I'll just show you a couple examples, like Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Now, they didn't reach the world for Christ, but they reached Christ. They were hospitable to Christ. And we know what he did. He died for the sins of the world. What about the story of Zacchaeus from Luke chapter 19? Do you remember that? It's all about hospitality. Jesus spots Zacchaeus up in the tree. He says, "Zacchaeus, come down from there." And then Jesus says, "I'm going to your house today. You're going to have me over. I'm going in your house, and you're going to feed me." Yeah, he's pretty forward, I would say. But the fact of the matter, it's hospitality. What about the disciples on the road to Emmaus that first Easter Sunday night? These two guys are walking along. They're talking about the events of the day. And Jesus joins them, but they don't realize it's Jesus. And as they're talking and so on, these guys get to their house, and Jesus says, "You know, I'm going to keep on going." And they say, "No, why don't you come in the house? Let us put you up for the night. Let us feed you." Again, hospitality. Jesus even requested hospitality from the church in Laodicea. You know this passage from Revelation 3:20. Look what Jesus says, all about hospitality. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Now, if you know the story of the church in Laodicea, Jesus wanted into their lukewarm church. They had a lukewarm church. They were having church, but they weren't inviting Jesus in. So he's out there on the church door saying, "Hey, I'd really like to come in." And he uses the familiar terms of hospitality. "I'm at your door. I need to come in. But if you let me in, we'll have dinner together." Now, the book of Acts is filled with numerous examples of hospitality. There's the situation with Cornelius and Lydia, the Philippian jailer, Simon the Tanner, Philip the evangelist. All are important, but Cornelius is perhaps the most significant. Here's why. Back in the Bible times, first century, hospitality was usually extended to people of the same ethnic or cultural background. And so when you saw somebody out there, if they looked like you, if they sounded like you, you might be hospitable to them. But if they looked different, if they sounded different, you'd probably just let them go on their way. Now, there were many reasons why this was true. There were racial reasons. There were religious reasons. There was even dietary reasons. Think about it. You know, the Jews had a very specific diet that they followed. Well, Gentiles didn't have any restrictions on their diet whatsoever. So if a Jew went into a Gentile home, he might be fed stuff that he's not allowed to eat. And so again, some of these reasons why folks would only extend hospitality to people of the same ethnic and cultural background make sense. But the reason the Cornelius story is so significant is because Peter both extends and receives hospitality to and from the Gentile Cornelius. Now again, this is earth-shattering. This is theologically breaking new ground. Peter, under any other circumstance, would never invite a Gentile into his house, would never go into a Gentile's house. And yet through this situation of hospitality with Peter and Cornelius, new ground is broken in the early church. And whereas the early church was only seeking to not only be hospitable to people that looked and sounded like them, but was only trying to reach people who looked and sounded like them, this event of hospitality changed their whole focus, recognizing the gospel wasn't just for Jewish people believing in Jesus, it was for the whole world. And what was the circumstance that brought this to pass? An act of hospitality changed the whole course of the Christian church. Now, let's get more practical. Since we all know we're supposed to be hospitable, how can we express our hospitality? You may be gifted, that's fine. But even if you're not, you still are expected to be hospitable. So how can we do it? Well, you can give money. That's easy. You can offer a meal to somebody. That is also easy. You can volunteer a room in your home. Like, for instance, if we have a singing group that's traveling or a youth group that's traveling and they need a place to stay, there's that church in West Virginia. Our youth always stay in their church. They are hospitable to our youth. And so if we ever host a youth group here or something that's traveling through, you can offer a room. You can serve on the church social committee. We have a church social committee, and that committee's responsibility is to make sure we're all fed and cared for. And while they haven't been real active lately because of COVID, from what I understand, you people love to eat. And again, we haven't seen it because of the virus, but it's coming back. And I'm trying to lose weight, and it's going to be a real problem. Because you guys, it doesn't matter. You find every excuse in the book to have a meal together. And we have a few people on that committee, but they could use your help. Especially if you have the gift of hospitality. Anybody can help, but if you've got the gift, you're the perfect match for that ministry. And remember this, when we serve others, we're serving Christ. He said so. Look what he says here, Matthew 25:40. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it to the one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now how can that be that when we help somebody in need, we're actually helping Christ? Because Jesus indwells his people through his Spirit. And when we minister to them, we minister to him. And by the way, our hospitality may even be helping angels. When you see somebody in need and you reach out to them, you actually may be helping an angel. You know this verse from Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. This was certainly the case with Abraham in Genesis 18. These three guys show up. He doesn't realize they're angels. And he gives them a place to stay. And he gives them food to eat. Finds out later on, they're angels. Now, how could we not know that we're helping angels? How could it be possible that when we reach out to help somebody in need, we've actually helped an angel and we don't know it? I'll tell you how. Because every time an angel appears in the Bible, it's a regular looking man. No wings, no harps, no trumpets, no singing. Just a regular average looking guy that needs help. So how could you help an angel and not know it? Because that angel, biblically speaking, would just like look like any other guy in this room. Now I want to share with you the flip side of this hospitality. I've been talking all about how we need to be hospitable, we need to give, we need to reach out, we need to help. But this is the other side of it. When you have been shown hospitality, be grateful. When somebody has reached out to you and given you a place to stay, when somebody has reached out to you and given you food to eat, when somebody has opened their home to you, make sure you're grateful. First of all, say it. Tell your host, thank you. And secondly, show it. Find ways to bless your host in return. I'm not saying pay them back. All I'm saying is they have exercised hospitality. They have opened their home. They have opened their food cabinets. They have opened their stove. They have opened their refrigerator. They have opened their freezer to you. Make sure you say thank you. And make sure you show your appreciation and find ways to bless them in return. And so we've seen hospitality. We know what it is. We see responsibility. Even if you don't have the gift, we're to be responsible to be hospitable to others. We've seen the opportunity that it is. We're serving Jesus Christ when we reach out. We may be helping angels. And lastly, I want us to look at applicability. Now, the practical basis of biblical hospitality is that the one showing hospitality may need hospitality one day in the future. And so you have what you need, and you're able to help somebody who's in need. And so one day you may be in need, And because you help them, maybe they'll return the favor. Jesus did teach the golden rule in Matthew 7:12, where he said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." But the spiritual basis of biblical hospitality is this. We are all needy strangers. Every one of us is a needy stranger. And yet God willingly and generously provides for our daily needs. Jesus taught about this in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 31. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. What did he say? But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so we're all needy strangers. But God graciously and willingly provides for our daily needs. And then on top of it, God has invited us into his eternal home of heaven. He doesn't just give us a meal. He says, I want you to come into my house. And I don't want you to just spend the night. I want you to spend eternity with me. Now understand, this is so important today. His invitation is not a reservation. Just because God has invited all of us to heaven, that is not our reservation. Yes, the Bible says, whosoever will may come. The invitation goes out to everybody, but the invitation itself is not a reservation. You must make your reservation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. How so? You need to believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that Jesus was buried for your sins, and the third day Jesus rose again from the dead. And when you truly believe that and truly receive that, then you have received your reservation. Until then, all you have is an invitation. The invitation is not a reservation. But I implore you today, make your reservation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we looked at hospitality today. Gaius was very hospitable, as opposed to Diotrephes, who was totally inhospitable. We now know what hospitality is. It is reaching out and helping people, giving them food, giving them clothing, giving them a drink, giving them a place to stay. That's what it is. And we see, secondly, not only what hospitality is, but the responsibility. Yes, there are those who are spiritually gifted to exercise hospitality, but it's a responsibility of all of us to do it. And that's exciting because it's a great opportunity. Because when we are hospitable to others, we're serving Christ. When we're hospitable to others, we may actually be helping angels along their way. But remember what it all comes down to, the applicability. We're all needy strangers, every one of us. And God graciously and willingly and generously provides for our daily needs. And then he says, come to my house, not for the night, but come to my house forever. And so today's message is very easy to apply in your own life. Leave this place today and go help someone in need.